Well, welcome to day two. We're going to continue today talking all about Jesus' relationship with the Father. And we'll jump into that in a moment. Again, a few quick housekeeping things. Do grab a copy of this book, Building a Relationship with God. Thank you to all of the subscribers to my YouTube channel. Help me if you would. I'd really love it if I could get some comments. Love to hear where you're watching from in the world, how I can pray for you. Just say hi, and I promise you I'll get back to you on that. Thirdly, I want to mention I'm spending about one-third of my time now traveling here in the U.S., and in Europe primarily. And if you have a group or a church you're interested in hosting, what I really love to do, I'm not that much into speaking in conferences and the conference circuit. What I love to do is work with local churches who want to grow. I love going to a church and seeing that church grow, seeing it increase 30-50%, seeing people born again, encouraged, healed, strengthened, and leaving that church in a whole other place. I'm a pastor as well, and I know what it's like having somebody speak, and afterwards you think, like, why did that happen? Why did I have them come? So one of the things I do when I travel is I don't charge anybody anything. The Bible says, freely have you received, freely give. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Acts, and he said, I've traveled at my own expense. I've made nobody in need because I came. And I love to do that. I am blessed because I have an amazing group of partners, individuals, churches, and businesses who sow into my ministry. So I can travel without any financial requirement on anybody. So if you're interested in doing that, drop me a line. And lastly, if you're interested in becoming a partner and sowing into missions, I have a mission. I really have two missions: to preach the gospel to the lost and also to preach the gospel to the found. To build and strengthen people's faith. Drop me a line if you're interested in becoming a partner. Good. Let's carry on. Let's talk about this. I want you to think of this. Let me set this up today. Jesus was the Son of God, and yet Jesus was the Son of Man. Jesus' identity was the Son of God. Jesus' role and mission and co-mission was the Son of Man. Jesus was the Son of Man in the way he ministered. He was sent to be the model son, sent to live, sent to die. And yet in his relationship with the Father, he was the Son of God. And it's so important that we actually anchor ourselves in that reality if we're going to build a relationship with him. What I've noticed, I mean, I am a pastor, I'm an evangelist. I guess I do some apostolic things occasionally. You know, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a neighbor, I'm a brother, you know, I'm a son, all these different things. But especially with ministry, what a lot of people do is they end up resourcing themselves through the calling rather than through their identity. And I know what that's like. You can actually draw strength and vitality. You can kind of live vicariously from the presence of God in your calling. I know many pastors who only really open their Bible to prepare messages to feed to others. Now again, that's not wrong that we open our Bibles for that express cause, but it is actually wrong when we're building something that's based on a mission, it's based on a role, if you will, but not an identity. Jesus lived out of his identity as a much loved son. I love that place in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4 where at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, before he's ever preached one sermon, he's ever healed anybody, the Father speaks to him and the Father says, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus has already won. Jesus is accepted in the beloved. Jesus never felt rejection from anybody when they come and they try to throw him off a cliff. He's like, "You can't throw me off a cliff. You can't do it." And then he, like parting the Red Sea, just walked through the midst of them. Jesus knew wherever he was absolutely accepted by the Father. Jesus knew wherever he was in the Father. He said in John 14, verse 20, "In that day, the day of Pentecost, you'll know that I am in the Father, that you are in me, and that I am in you." Jesus lived in this abiding place in the Father. Everywhere Jesus went, he knew his Father would meet every need. His Father would meet every provision. He knew everywhere he went, when it came time to pay his taxes. Remember the story? Peter comes and says, "Should we pay taxes?" And Jesus says a strange thing to Peter. I really love this. He says to Peter, "Of whom do the kings of the earth impose taxes?" if you're a king ruling a country, who do you tax? Do you tax your own children, the princes, or do you tax just the common people? And of course, Peter says, well, the common people. You know, a king wouldn't tax his own children. And then Jesus turns to Peter and he says, so then the children go free. In effect, what Jesus was saying is, you and I, Peter, we are the children of heaven. We're the children of our Father. We're free from any tax. We're free from anything. And then Jesus says, to fulfill all righteousness, so we don't offend these Romans and Pharisees, tax collectors, whatever. He's like, just go catch a fish. The first fish you'll catch will be a gold coin in its mouth. Pay your tax and pay mine at the same time. Jesus is free from the constraints of the world. And yet, he also believes his Father will meet the need anyway. Jesus knew he'd never been in any place that his Father wouldn't meet a need. And what I want you to catch today is it's so vital that we realize we're called into that same relationship, that we are secure in that relationship. I've met many Christians who are never quite sure what God really thinks of them. Are they accepted? Is God mad at them? Is God tolerating them? Is God about to kind of throw them out and cast them into outer darkness? And so many people who live with shame. You know, I had an experience last year where often in the summer, my wife will go away to France for a couple of months and I'll go in the middle and join them for a few weeks there. And I was at home in the US alone. My wife and kids are in France. And sometimes just to simplify things, when I'm at home, I will batch cook a load of things. And I remember one day cooking about six shepherd's pies in little dishes. I was going to freeze them and just make it easy for me to eat. And I'd cook these things. They were piping hot, put them in these little glass dishes on my countertop. And then I went back into my office just to let them cool down before I put them in the freezer. And I came back a couple of hours later and I looked and suddenly I realized one of them was half eaten. Literally half of it was gone. And I suddenly realized my dog, Aggie, must have jumped on the counter and eaten half of this thing. And then I went all over my home looking for my dog, Aggie. Now, my home is a interesting thing. It was the original parsonage in the town of Sturbridge. And it has like a long part, you know, the lower level, the long part in the upper. And I walked around literally every room, then upstairs, every bedroom. And eventually I found my dog, Aggie, in the far room at the far corner of the house, hiding in a corner. And my dog, and I'm sure many other dogs will do this, she kind of does this thing if she's been naughty where she closes her eyes. Like, I think she's thinking, if she can't see me, I can't see her. And she's just shaking and cowering in the corner with guilt and shame all over her. I think if she would have been able to talk, she would have said, it's not me. I don't like shepherd's pie. I didn't eat it. She's like cowering with shame. And, you know, of course, I forgave the dog and gave her a pat or whatever and told her everything was okay. It took the dog about 2 or 3 hours to believe, though, that she was actually forgiven and accepted. I think for the whole of that day, I had to sort of have her in my office and sitting at my feet. And like, it's okay. I still love you. You were naughty, but I still love you. And I actually realized as this was going on, that's what's happening with us so often. Do you know, God is not pleased with us when we sin, but I tell you, God has already dealt with our sins. I'm not excusing sin, past, present, or future. The only thing to do when you sin is confess it, repent of it, and believe Him to cleanse you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7-9. And yet, I think so often the issue is not God forgiving us, it's us forgiving ourselves. It's us not realizing we are anchored in a relationship where we're loved and we are accepted in God. And I believe when we do that, that won't give us a license to sin. Rather, that sets us free from sin. Rather, we're so grateful we're living in the love and the reflective presence of a God who'll meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That we don't want to wander off and do our own thing. We sit and we abide in Jesus. So I want you to get this today. I want you to think and reflect and look at the relationship Jesus had with His Father. Did Jesus struggle not to sin? Have you thought about that? Was Jesus tempted? Yes, He was. The Bible says He was. Matthew 4 and Luke 4. He was tempted in the desert. It says in 1 Corinthians, He was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus experienced any temptation you've ever had, and temptation is not temptation if it would be impossible for you to commit that sin and give into it. So Jesus was tempted in every way as we were, and yet he lived without sin. Here's my question to you, and I'll finish with this. Was it a struggle? Was it a strain? Was Jesus like, oh, trying so hard to be righteous? I don't think it was. I think Jesus was resting in his Father. I don't think Jesus was trying to be righteous. Rather, I think the righteousness of his Father through the Spirit was flowing in and flowing through him. When Jesus said to us, I am the vine, you are the branches, I don't want to twist scripture, but I think in a sense Jesus could equally have said, my Father is the vine, I am the branch. My Father and me are absolutely one. The life of the Father is flowing into the Son. And then Jesus says, the life that's in me, the Son, will flow into you, my followers. And I think Jesus lived a natural, normal, easy life. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. If it's not easy and light to follow Jesus and let his victory flow in and flow through us, then we are not brokering the gospel. We're not preaching the gospel. We are preaching religion. Good. Hey, we're going to talk some more tomorrow about the different aspects of Jesus's relationship with the Father and how he gave that relationship to us. So hope to see you then. Again, encourage you to grab a copy of the book, link below, and drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. Bless you in Jesus' name.